In the precious name of our Savior Jesus Christ, my brother and I greet you to the house of the Lord for this special occasion to partake of this bread and the wine. And we know that the Lord is mindful of all these things of life, and all things work to good to those who love Him. And for a call to worship, I would expound upon the words that are in your bulletin of ether as I turn to the testimony of St. John in the first chapter. And it reads, "In the beginning was the gospel preached through the Son, and the gospel was the Word, and the Word was with the Son. And the Son was with God, and the Son was of God. In Him was the gospel, and the gospel was the life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the world, and the world perceiveth it not. And the same Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." And saints, we come today in remembrance of our covenant, in remembrance of our Savior's work on the cross, but more importantly, His ascension into heaven by breaking the bands of death. And we're mindful of the sacrifice made, and we're also mindful that this is a glorious time, but we're also mindful of our family who find themselves in need from the passing of our dear sister Marty Brown, and our prayers are with EJ and Courtney and Beth and Chad and all the family and extended family. And I would ask an interest in your prayers in these final moments of preparation for Brother Don, as he would bring forth the words of life, that we might meditate on those and grow from those. And as we move into this service, we'll start by the singing of hymn number 84. mighty Heavenly Father, it is with thanksgiving that we come before you this hour for the mighty and everlasting sacrifice of our Savior, the Messiah, Jesus Christ. We come together this hour to remember Him and all the trials of life we now lay at your feet, that we may bask in that Spirit that we invite even now from thy courts of glory to extend to us, to strengthen us, to help us focus on truth, to help us remember your Son and his great plan for us. We thank you for each one that has made the effort to be here today, that each one may focus on you and your Son and be ministered to this hour as we reach forth to partake. May we do so with broken hearts and contrite spirits, that this may be a great event in our life this hour. We thank you for each one that is present and those that have a desire to be with us, and the love that we share in this place because of you. So our desire is that we will bring honor and glory to thee this day in all that we do and all that we say. And as we sing, we thank you for your Son, even Jesus Christ. Amen.
Two scriptures I'd like to share with you this morning. One, the first one speaks of God's great love for His creation, and the second speaks of how we should respond to that love. First is a very familiar scripture. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not a Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He who believeth on Him is not condemned, but he who believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God, which before was preached by the mouth of the holy prophets, for they testified of me. That, of course, is John chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. The second scripture, interestingly enough, is also given to us by John, and it's chapter 3, verses 16 through 18 of 1 John. Hereby perceive we the love of Christ, because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. For whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother hath need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue only, but in deed and in truth. Would you bow with me, please? Our Heavenly Father, it's in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ, that we have presented ourselves unto thee this day. And we pray, Father, as we would make our offering this day, that it would be sufficient and pleasing in thy sight and be used for the good of thy people, Father, here on this part of thy vineyard. So we pray, Father, for thy blessing upon us and upon the work that is being done. And may these funds be used in that for that purpose and for the needs of thy people. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
It is with great joy that I am here with all of you this morning. It's been a while since I've been up here. It's because I really can't stand up very long, and that's why I love communion services. Today is one of the best days of the month to be here. To share with everyone this special day that we remember our commitment and our covenant that we have with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's good to be a part of a church that was organized with the same gospel that was set up when Christ walked on this earth, and the same complete priesthood and ordinances. I have a scripture this morning from the Doctrine and Covenants. It comes from 717 B, C, and D. All those who humble themselves before God and desire to be baptized and come forth with broken hearts and contrite spirit and witness before the church that they have truly repented of all their sins and are willing to take upon them the name of Jesus Christ, having a determination to serve Him to the end, and truly manifest by their works that they have received of the Spirit of Christ, shall be received by baptism into this church. These are instructions of which Joseph Smith Jr. received prior to April 6th of 1830, telling us to be baptized or to be born again. During the time that Christ was on earth, there was a lot of non-believers. They didn't believe in baptism, being born again, being born of the water and the Spirit. One of the examples of this is that of Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews. He was a Pharisee. And he came to Christ at night. and talk a lot about and ask lots of questions about being born again. I'm going to take you to 3 John again. Verses 1 through 7. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles which thou doest, except God be with them. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. Ye must be born again. You must enter the waters of baptism, this being symbolic of the burial of your past life. And our rebirth and re-entrance into the family of Christ. Ideals and habits that are unworthy of Christ should be forgotten, and new ideas and habits should be established. Baptism by water is always followed by confirmation, which bestows the Holy Spirit as an indication of divine acceptance. You have been baptized. You have made your commitment with Christ, and you have a determination to serve Him until the end. This is a promise that Christ gives you. You'll find it in 3 Nephi chapter 8, verses 39 through 41. Jesus said unto them, Blessed are ye for this thing which ye have done. For this is fulfilling my commandments, and this doth witness unto the Father that ye are willing to do that which I have commanded you. And this shall ye always do unto those who repent and are baptized in my name. And ye shall do it in remembrance of my blood, which I have shed for you. And ye may witness unto the Father that ye do always remember me. And if you do always remember me, ye shall have my Spirit to be with you. Yes, today is a very special day. A day to remember that covenant that we have made with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What brought you to the water's edge for your baptism? What was your reason? Probably most of you may have reached the age of accountability. Did you have an experience, a dream that brought you? As far as myself, I was a shade over the age of accountability. I was 53. I was baptized on November 29th, 1998, by my son Michael, which was a great thrill for me to be baptized by my son. I am a third generation to return to the restoration. My grandfather is the only one of his brothers and sisters that did not join the RLDS Church. He joined the Church of Christ, a branch off of the Temple Lot at West Plains, Missouri. I do not know why it happened that way. It was never brought up and never discussed why he was the only one that was baptized into the Church of Christ. My dad was a member of the Church of Christ all his life. He was ordained a priest, ordained an elder, and in the mid-1960s, he was ordained to an apostle. I attended church with my family until my marriage in 1966. And I started attending with my wife, Cynthia, who was a member of the RLDS since she was 8. Throughout the many years I went with church with her, I had started thinking about being baptized, but something always seemed to pop up and stop that idea and change my mind. One Sunday, as I was listening to a sermon, I heard a voice, "Don, quit putting off your baptism." Well, I sat there and thought about that. And when the service was over, I went to find the pastor to tell him of my experience and maybe what I ought to do about it. I was going after the pastor, and I found him, and he walked straight over to me. And he says, "Don, you've got to quit putting off your baptism." Well, right then, I had confirmation of what I had just been told myself. I knew instantly that I had confirmation on it. And that's why 2 weeks later, I was baptized by my son at Israel's Gathering Congregation, south of Buckner. This is Sacrament Sunday. It is a day set aside that we remember our covenant that we took upon ourselves when we were baptized into this church. to take of these emblems representing the broken body of Christ when he was nailed to the cross at Calvary. I must admit, today's my favorite service. And I guarantee you that I'm not the only one with that thought. I get to exercise my right as a baptized member of this church. And I get to partake of the bread and the wine and remember my covenant with my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I have another short scripture to read. It was read earlier. Again, it's from John chapter 3, verses 14 through 16. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That means life forever and ever and ever and ever. While the emblems are being prepared today, you might think on that day of your baptism, the testimony which you had to bring you to the water's edge. As always, may Christ's wonderful Spirit be with each of you. Here's my humble prayer.
appreciate those words our dear brother brought to us and the gift of that Holy Ghost that we received in our confirmation. And we're grateful we can share this time together to reflect upon those things of our life. And we all are, hope all are here, welcome, feel welcome to worship with us. And we do practice a close communion and ask only those that are baptized members partake of those emblems. And today is a special occasion for another reason. It's our custom here that newly baptized members will be served before the rest of the congregation, and we have that joy today in our good brother Harrison Sharkey. And after the priesthood have partaken their portion of the emblems, Harrison will be served by his grandfather, Harold Sharkey. And in preparation for partaking of these emblems, I would, and we'll have the prayer over the bread offered this time by Brother Tony Brown. And I would ask that you would now kneel as much as possible facing the emblems in preparation for that prayer.
O God, the Eternal Father, we ask Thee in the name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ, to bless and sanctify this bread to the souls of all those who partake of it, that they may eat in remembrance of the body of Thy Son, and witness unto Thee, O God, the Eternal Father, that they are willing to take upon them the name of Thy Son, and always remember Him, and keep His commandments which He has given them, that they may always have His Spirit to be with them. Amen.
Anyone miss their portion that wish to partake? As Brother Dan Brown offers a blessing over the wine, once again I'd ask that you would kneel as much as possible facing the emblems.
O God, the Eternal Father, we ask in the name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ, you bless and sanctify this wine to the souls of all those who drink of it, that they may do it in remembrance of the blood of Thy Son, which was shed for them, that they may witness unto Thee, O God, the Eternal Father, that they do always remember Him, that they may have His Spirit to be with them. Amen.
Anyone miss their portion of the bread?
I appreciate our brother Don for his remarks this morning. You know, when I called him here a month or two ago, he said he had been thinking about whether or not he would ever preach again. His decision if he should preach. And I was grateful that he took the time to give my question some opportunity and to pray about it, and he consented to do so. I know that the Lord blessed him because he was willing to step out in that decision. We've seen this morning here with our brother Harrison as well that he has been willing to step out and do something that probably many of his peers and people that he knows have not done, or perhaps will never do. How is it that the Lord calls us saints many times to venture into those areas that perhaps are uncomfortable to us? Perhaps is not our calling or our gift. And when we do, he blesses us. And I'd like you to consider that and think about those that which the Lord is asking each of you to do in this day and time, in this season, that his kingdom might come forth. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. I'd urge each of you, brothers and sisters, to listen to the voice of that Spirit, to be able to step out in faith in those times and in the situations where you are called upon to witness, or you are called upon to minister to a brother or sister, or to a neighbor, or someone else that would be around you. For this is how the Lord's kingdom comes, by each of us taking our part and doing his will.
Our Heavenly Father, we have just sung "Nearer, My God, to Thee." And as Thou hast given instruction to a servant in recent years, that Thou dost want to be near unto us, our Heavenly Father, we have wandered. And as a result, there has been darkness in our lives. None of us are exempt. We just pray that as Thou dost call us to be nearer unto Thee, into the light, that we may do so gladly and with great resolve, knowing that Thou wilt bless us and be near to us. We would not seek for a sign, but we would humbly ask that Thou would be near to us this week as we consider the great loss of our sister and as we consider the needs of this congregation and as we consider that which Thou would have us do. We pray that Thou would send the gift and the power of the Holy Comforter this week until we meet again, that there may be no denying that Thou dost want to be near unto us. Bless us, therefore, we humbly pray, and forgive us of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen.